tits are sweaty? That's what you're gonna say?
Yeah, like I have swoobs. I have swoobs really bad right now. I don't know what. It's probably because it's 100 degrees here. Anyways, yeah. Carry on.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
Damn it, I'm Erin.
She's got swoobs.
Gal pal with swoobs.
You had to know that I was going to hit record as soon as you
know.
Did that.
I know. You know what? I did it for the laughs. I did it for the laughs.
Oh, man. Guys.
Like any good comedian.
Comedian. Tonight, I am drinking another beer by that Pizza Port Brewing Company out of Coronado. They make really good beer. You get it at Trader Joe's. I'm sure you can get it other places, but I keep getting it at Trader Joe's. Or my wife keeps getting it for me at Trader Joe's, which I appreciate. And this one's called North of the Pier. It's an Indian Pale Ale, and it's excellent. I'm going to have to go get some before Jean gets here.
Oh.
Because she's such a beer connoisseur.
Ooh, yes, I am.
Wow. I am drinking this Teton Cider Works cherry cider that I got at our local beer and cider. I was trying to find a fancy word for establishment. That's not fancy. Oh my God, someone help. I've been locked up alone for too long.
It's a fancier word than Trump would use.
That's true. I have all the words, the best words. Yeah, it's like pretty good. It's cherry. That feels very appropriate for where I live and this time of year when everyone's picking cherries. So yeah, it's pretty good.
I am drinking nothing because I went on such a bender Tuesday night that I had to sleep on my friend's couch and do the walk of shame home at 6:30 in the morning and then get home and like get showered and ready for my Skype Zoom meeting at 8:30. So I drank myself on the wagon, I think.
Whoa!
I consumed so much alcohol that I just have no taste for it yet.
Wow.
Now, mind you, it's only been 2 days, not 6 months, so don't get nervous.
I was going to say, what the hell?
Yeah. Calm down, everybody. Right. Simmer
I don't
down.
Think anyone's worried.
Okay. Yeah, you
no
should.
No one's like, oh, God, I hope Gene's not going to get sober.
Yeah, where are we going to find a replacement for her on the podcast?
We can't have a sober person on here. What the fuck? Oh, man. So presently, I'm finishing up a Corona premiere because I just needed something to wet my whistle. But I have this stuff.
Why are you so fucking fancy?
Well, because it's low carb. Come on. But I got this new Belgium. It's called Mural. And it,
you say Meryl.
Meryl Streep. And I can't. Hey. It's watermelon, lime, hibiscus, and agave.
Oh.
And it is so fucking good.
That sounds good. Excited.
It's that very does. Good. So I'm, like, I've had, like, one of them already, like, yesterday when I bought them. And now I'm, like, I saved them all for tonight. So I got five more, ladies.
Jesus. Stacey, you know just what? Got here. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a wine called Mystified, and I only bought it because it says soft red blend, and I'm like, what is that? I have no idea.
Well, we're about to find out.
Soft. We're about to find out. I'm going to tell you.
How was everyone's week?
Shit! Rubbish!
What a bunch
of trash. Utter detestable rubbish.
Yeah, this
I've done a lot of crying. Yeah. A lot of reflecting.
So it's like a normal 2020 week.
Yeah.
It might be the worst of 2020, though, so far.
Hey, don't put bars out there that are just begging to be jumped.
I mean, there's a meteorite out there that may slam into us.
I have, through all of this, found a new love for CNN. Because in the evenings, you get the trifecta of Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, and Don Lemon.
Yeah.
And it's great. And man, Chris Cuomo is attractive. Like, I am in it.
I'm surprised you just figured that out.
I've always thought recently. He was Potter of the brothers. Like,
oh, he totally is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. But like, also Don Lemon has just been like, he's been great. Like, he's been so fabulous through all of this.
You don't have some weird sexual draw to him now, too, do you?
I don't know. I mean, Don Lemon's a good looking guy, but
you're
like,
barking up the wrong tree.
Chris Cuomo is like, like, manly and in charge and like will take care of a situation, you know? I like that.
The most grown up thing to happen is when you start fantasizing about your news anchors.
Oh, I know. I know. I was telling my boss that today. I was like, I'm like super into Chris Cuomo. And she was like, oh my God, you and my stepmom. She's probably in her 70s. So that's cool.
I would just like to interject and say that I was 16 years old and had a massive crush on my local anchor woman.
Okay.
16. I was watching local news at 16.
I mean, I feel like both these scenarios track for both of your personalities. Like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the crush on the soap opera star when I was 16.
Oh, Christina. Which one? Which one? Let's talk about this.
Bold and the Beautiful.
Okay.
Sheila. It's God, what the Kimberlyn was her first name. I gotta look at
Kimberlyn.
Yeah, that's like her real, like her actor name. I don't know. I think
yeesh.
Like, I couldn't really do a whole lot of stalking then because I think the internet was fairly.
You're just at the library looking at magazines.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, like Soap Opera Digest
and writing letters.
Oh yeah, I totally wrote letters, and I would write like. Screenplays for them and send them and they'd get sent back.
Oh,
read them.
I found her already.
There you go.
Let me see.
Look at this. Kimberlyn Brown Pelzer.
There she is.
Oh my God. That's so Aaron. Jesus.
That is.
That really is so Aaron.
Is it
oh
not?
God.
It is
holy
so.
Shit.
Oh yeah. There she is.
She's got a real.
She kind of looks like
real thin
Olivia tongue. On SVU. What's her name?
Oh yeah,
Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
Another one I like.
She's got that real thin top lip. So,
man,
so anything else
brings me back?
Anything else exciting happened this week before we jump into super heavy subjects?
Wait, let me see.
Nah, just the regular dumpster fire.
Okay.
I think.
Stacey, you want to tell everyone about the pigs that were born at your house? Or that you're obsessed with? That's probably you're obsessed with.
Yeah, I could think of something else. Yeah, we thought that this pig was sterile because we put her and the boy together and then we waited like a super long time and then nothing happened and she never showed. And then yesterday my daughter went down there and she called me and she's like, Mom? There's piglets out here, like everywhere, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, so she got pregnant, like, we had her in with boyfriend last time, so she got pregnant at the very end.
Hold on, you're super broken.
So when we checked out, we were like, there's no way.
Yeah, you're super broken up. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Did you pause it or are you recording?
I'll just pull it out when I do it later. You want to try again?
Where do you want me to start?
Your daughter. Just start over the whole thing so I don't have to.
Okay.
Your daughter called?
Yeah, so my daughter called me and is like, Mom, there's piglets out here and they're like everywhere. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? We had to go gather them. One had a foxtail stuck in its eye. Like, one was in the mail bin. Like, they were just scattered all over the place. It was a shit show. So we got to herd piglets. And they're very tiny. Like, I think because she's a new mom. She's a first-time mom. She only had 6 in there. We lost one so far, which it's totally normal. You expect to lose one or two. But, yeah, very, very tiny. So that was exciting. But I feel like really cute. They are super cute, but they're so skinny that they're kind of ugly right now. They'll be cute in like 2 weeks when they plump up and look more like pigs.
We're gonna like right now.
That's yeah, what I'm, that's what I'm hoping like, for myself.
Yeah. But I feel like that's been my whole week has been one weird ass thing after another. Seriously.
Yeah, I feel that.
So instead of directly like talking about what's been happening this week, because I feel like everybody's talking about what has happened this week, I thought we could answer some listener questions that we've gotten specifically about it. So the first person, and her name's Ashley, she wanted to know, said, I know Jackie was in the military, and I think Stacy. What is your response to 45s threatening U.S. citizens with military involvement? Also, what exactly is Antifa? I've been trying to Google it, but there is a lot of mixed info. Do you guys have any insight? Thought I would ask. Stacy, you want to go first? Or you want me to?
No, go ahead. I feel like you could totally just sum this all up really well in like 5 minutes, and we're good.
First of all, there's been a lot of speculation about whether or not it's legal for him to do this. It is technically legal. Technically. It is a law that hasn't been... It was written in 1807, just a few decades after the American Revolution. And it's only supposed to be enacted in times of severe distress. I would assume it was probably put in case there was some type of subservient uprising for people who were probably loyal still to King George coming back in and trying to take apart the United States. That's what I'm assuming. Honest to God, I haven't read enough about it because I never really thought about it up until we heard Trump talking about it a few days ago. I will say this. Typically, I have a lot of friends on my Facebook that are from the military with me. We don't agree on a lot of things, believe it or not. They tend to toe an ultra-conservative line when it comes to all things. And they were universally disgusted by this sentiment. I think a lot of military personnel are. The idea that you would turn the strongest military power that the world has ever seen on its own citizens because you feel like you're being personally attacked... I think it's probably one of the grossest abuses of power we've ever seen. And I'm lumping it in there with internment camps for Japanese mm-hmm. citizens and Charlottesville and a lot of other atrocities that the United States has had to face. But the idea of asking people who are sworn to protect 300 million people at all costs sacrifice their own life to uphold their life and liberties and their ability to maintain their so-called free citizenship, to ask them to then turn their rifles on those very people. I have to say, I don't know how many military would follow through with that order, to be perfectly honest. I think you'd have a faction that would, of course. But I think Trump should be real careful because I think he'd be real surprised at the outcome. There's definitely a sentiment for people who go into the military, regardless of their, I know some people it's a way out of certain set of circumstances. It's a career path. It's a way to get out of impoverished neighborhoods. It's a way to kind of put off becoming a grown up because you're putting off college or whatever it is. I know a lot of people say that's the reason they went in, but if you were to, you know, no pun intended, gun to your head, ask veterans in active duty why they all have a pretty significant love for their country and the people that they protect, and to see it treated this way, it was a pretty gross, it was something pretty gross. And to see my military friends all kind of agree about that made me for just that 5 minutes feel a lot better about the world. And maybe the checks and balances that we put in place at the beginning of the country, maybe they wouldn't always hold up, but when push came to shove, the people who are sworn to protect you from foreign and domestic enemies, they probably still would. So I think he would be foolish to actually enact this. I think it would backfire on him when you have four-star generals coming out and saying, this is the decline of democracy, stop. Especially Mattis, he served for Trump. Mm-hmm. These generals don't come out and make political statements because they're seeking publicity. They do not do that. They are not wired that way. So I think Mattis coming out should have really woken up anybody who still doubted the intentions of this president. And that's just my that's my opinion about it. Did you guys have any thoughts?
So I don't have a ton of other military members as friends. I have like two or three, and I haven't heard anybody active duty or veteran talk about it yet. I feel like it's another one of Trump's ways of showing off. Look at what I can do. This is something no other president has done. Look what I can do. Look how powerful I am, you know, type attitude. But I'm curious, like, who he's pulling out to do that. Is it just MPs? Is it just SEALs? Is it like...
He has the constitutional power to turn the entire armed services on the United States if he wanted to. He hasn't specified his plans would be. Navy, Army, Marine Corps, Air Force.
Space Force.
It doesn't make sense because...
We needed that laugh.
With Steve Carell leading the charge.
Yeah, I need to watch that real bad. It doesn't make sense because the majority of military members are not trained in riot situations.
He was doing it. What he stated in so many words in his speech was it would be a show of force to essentially just lock everyone down and put everyone back in their homes and completely put an end to protesting, riots, all of it. They would just flood the streets and send everyone back. It wasn't riot control.
Mm-hmm. In a way it is. I mean, to go in and stop people that are marching in the streets and say, go back to your home, you need a lot of training to be able to do that. Look at our police force right now.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. They're doing it. You're taking a group of people who are essentially trained to kill and putting them out in the streets to fix a situation. People are going to do what they're trained to do. It would 1,000% escalate everything. 1,000%. And that's why I think Matt has said you're watching the downfall of democracy right now. Do something.
Right. And, and because the whole purpose of it was people exercising their First Amendment rights. And so now and then of course all the asshole opportunists and pot stirrers come in and take advantage of the situation. But if you're already upset with a country that is denying one group their civil and human rights, and then the president turns around and orders our own military to say, now we can't protest or assemble at all. You've gone to martial law to authoritarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that what people want? I mean, when a sports team wins a victory, if they haven't won in 50 years, the fans come out of the stadium and loot and burn and overturn cars. The president doesn't call out the National Guard for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching that like live because my brother had texted me and said like, hey, things are getting super crazy in DC. Are you watching this? And I was like, I should turn on CNN while I'm working and just see what's happening. And like watching it go from such a peaceful protest to the military police shooting rubber bullets and spraying tear gas and all that kind of stuff. So he could walk over to that church that was not open, where he was not invited to stand for a picture holding the Bible upside down and backwards and inside out.
His daughter's $1,500 handbag.
Right. I just like, I was literally in tears. And my boyfriend, Chris Cuomo, was on at the time.
I was like, you have a boyfriend?
Wait, who was it? Chris? Now I don't remember if it was Chris Cuomo. No, it was Don Lemon. Husky. I take
your
that back.
Other boyfriend.
Husky. I say it was my other boyfriend, Don Lemon.
Look, if Andrew Cuomo could be my imaginary husband, Chris Cuomo could be her imaginary boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you
Listen,
guys could be like the Kushners. Which one of you is Ivanka and which one of you is Carly?
Why did you do that?
You're welcome.
But I was like in tears watching it because, and Don Lemon was just, if you can find a recording of it, go back and watch it with him responding because he just was like, this is disgusting. And to walk over to that church and pray. And he said like, you know, somebody should pray. And then he just said, God help America, because that's where we're at now. Right. Like, he wasn't, you know, and he said after the fact, like, of course, what it looked like was he was using the military against peaceful protesters so he could go have a photo op. Mm-hmm. And then later he kind of posed the question, or did he have a photo op so he could use the military to tear gas innocent protesters?
Oh, my God.
Either way, it's disgusting and it's just. Never once did he mention the root cause of all of this, but if you're really trying to end riots, probably treating innocent people like they're dangerous criminals is not the way to start. Like, it just adds fuel to the fire. These people were doing nothing but peacefully protesting. And that doesn't mean they have to be polite. So I know there's a lot of people saying too, like the protesters yelling at police officers. Yeah, they're allowed to do that. Nothing says they have to be polite about what they're doing. So
I get yelled at every damn day.
Right.
Right. And you don't tear gas anybody.
Not yet.
Yeah. I think what... so I've obviously... Like, I'm not in the military. I don't really have a large military background in my family. I have tremendous respect for military members. But I will say this, when I saw that picture of the soldiers on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, I literally, and I know that this is so just stupid of me, but like my immediate thought was The Handmaid's Tale. Like, mm-hmm. And I just,
it's because
my,
it was in a, that it, that was an actual scene in The Handmaid's Tale.
Right. Yes. So like, that's I just where, keep yes. thinking oh, about mm-hmm. what, where this country is headed if we don't stop what's going on by voting the biggest voter turnout in American history by going in there and voting blue. Like, I literally get like nauseated when I think about it. Like, my stomach starts to turn because I think to myself, like, you know, life has been such a fucking shit show in the last 6 months, right? Like, so much has happened in our lives. I mean, so much has happened, but like literally very little has happened because we've all been locked inside. We're not allowed to go anywhere. We're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do that. You know, now that we're like starting to open up and all this stuff starts happening and all these horrible issues that this country has been dealing with for so long, as this giant spotlight is shown on them. And there is just so much unrest and, you know, I'm not sleeping well. And I'm sure there's millions of other people not sleeping well. And like, everybody's just absolutely nervous about everything going on. Right. Like, so there's all of this stuff going on. And then you have Trump, who is God. He's like the fucking dumbest motherfucker that could have ever had to be in charge of handling this, right? Like, he is literally the worst. He is the epitome of a horrible leader. Like, when you think horrible leader, that is it right there. Like, he's never done anything, you know? So it's just like, I keep thinking to myself, we are in this moment, and it's like a turning point for America. Like, and I never thought, and maybe this is naive of me, but I never thought that I would live through a turning point in American history. And
no,
I feel like
maybe you did, because remember when everybody felt scared and everything when he was elected? This is why. This is what we were afraid
yeah,
of. And
yeah,
now
exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, like, the tears and the way that I sobbed when I found out Hillary didn't win, and the way that, like, I feel every time I hear him speak, and, you know, like, I mean, I'm not saying that I hate wearing a mask out in public, but I hate wearing a mask out in public. And if he would have led us in a direction that made sense, we wouldn't be in this predicament. And we wouldn't have these issues going on if he wasn't constantly inciting hate and making racists feel like they have a place, a platform to stand. And I hate everything about it. And seeing those officers or those military members standing up there was like literally the moment when I was like, oh my fucking God, this is why I sobbed on election night. This is it. This right here, because this country has two ways to go. And if we do not pick the right path, we're all fucked.
Well, and this is him. This is him still needing to win an election, right? This is him a little bit.
This is desperation.
No. This is him leashed.
You think?
Listen, he still needs a certain amount. In order to win, he has to pull off a certain amount of independent voters. And part of that is, and he doesn't need a lot. He needs like 2 or 3%. He needs 2 or 3% of people he needs to win them over. So this is him still trying to appeal to the public. If he wins again and he cannot run again, can you imagine the 4 years that this country would have to endure under someone who had absolute power and no reason to get reelected?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think this is bad.
That's literally making my heart beat like really fast.
I hope it keeps beating.
I'd rather if he gets reelected, I'd rather it stop beating, to be completely honest.
So that kind of leads us into our second question of the night. What was that noise?
I think she sneezed.
Oh, bless you.
Bless you.
I choked on my wine.
Oh. Bless you for that, too.
It's the ones you love most that end up hurting you, huh? So we got this one from Melissa, and she said, great pod last week, ladies. It was really helpful. These are crazy tough times, and I feel like I'm doing... is fighting with people from sun up to sun down. I hope it brings about the change we need in this country. Do any of you think this will have an actual impact on the election in November? Trump inspecting the bunker. Oomph, am I right?
Is right. You are correct.
I think if the election was held today, I think it would be an easy yes. It would absolutely impact it. I also think that Americans' memory is short.
Yes.
And when things start opening up and people are able to do more, and this, like the other protest, I'm worried will fall into the background, and all of this pain, all of this suffering, all of these damaged buildings and damaged souls and loss of life will have been for naught. That's what I'm afraid of. I hope I'm wrong. I honestly don't have a good answer to this, because I would like to say unresoundingly, yes, it will have an impact. But I thought there was no way he could win in 2016. And historically, it is incredibly difficult to unseat an incumbent. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that to scare people. I'm telling you that because that's how I honestly feel. Well,
Bill Clinton did it.
That's
recent history.
But you know what? Joe Biden's no Bill Clinton. So,
no, that's for sure. But you know what?
I'm not defending Bill Clinton by any stretch of the imagination. But
George Bush 1 was nowhere as bad as Trump either.
Yeah.
That's true.
But you know what?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think people are starving for a president that's presidential. You know? Like hearing Joe Biden talk and hearing Barack Obama talk yesterday during his town hall. Like that's what people need. People need just positive things. If you watched any of the any of what happened earlier today with the anti-lynching bill and stuff, listening to Kamala Harris, listening to Cory Booker. If you didn't hear Cory Booker talk today, you should stop whatever you're doing, pause this podcast and go listen to that, because that's way more important. It just, like, we need people that have feelings and that are human and that understand the weight of being in a position like that and respect it in return. And it just is so, I'm hoping that makes a difference. I went to a small vigil that was set up in our park today, that I want to call them kids. They're not kids anymore. They're all like out of college or about to graduate college, but they, you know, they're home for the summer. This is a predominantly white area. And these kids got together and they put this thing together today where they just set up these memorials for Sandra Bland and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. And they had flowers for people to go place at these mark. I mean, it was just so beautiful. And so I was talking to one of the kids, again, not a kid, she's a grown adult, one of the organizers. And she was saying she was a little worried that the same thing, that this will get forgotten, but then at the same time, a little grateful for all of this COVID stuff, because not for COVID, obviously, but that pause and people being at home and sort of being able to have the time to focus on this. Because if this would have happened and people weren't, you know, stuck at home, this might not be getting the attention and the response that it is right now. So, so I thought that that was super important. And most of these protests, the average age of the people protesting is young college age. And so that makes me hopeful for the election, because there's this whole untapped electorate that I think is just finally seeing how important it is at every level, starting with city government, to make sure that you're voting and that you're electing people that are going to make it a better place. That's where it starts.
District attorneys, guys, you need to pay attention to your district attorneys and the people who are running for sheriff. And because the thing that I think gets missed, and I am in no way saying that like police brutality is not important, because of course it is. Mm-hmm. But there are facets to this deep-rooted racism in this country, and part of it is prison reform, and part of it is incarceration, and part of it is just the equity that we set Black Americans up with from the get-go. Like, there's the reason it hasn't been solved yet is because there's no easy solution, because it requires to look at us, to look at what's happening in an all-encompassing viewpoint, and to realize that 99% of the systems that we have established don't work for a huge segment of the population, and to dismantle those systems.
Well, yeah, because they were designed not to.
For sure, but dismantling all of those, but one isn't going to work unless we do all of them. Like, we have to do all of them. And I did want to speak, what you were speaking on about the protests, there was a part of the person's question before about Antifa. And before we talk about what Antifa is, I was wondering if Stacy would tell us what's going on in her small little town with kind of the fear mongering around Antifa.
Well, honestly, and to go back to the previous question, I feel like regarding the election and the divide, it's definitely 50-50 here. There's, you know, the right side is saying this is all Democratic, the Antifa is Democrats, the rioters, the looters, the protesters is all Democrats, and this is what the world will be like if we vote for Biden, that this is what we can expect. And then I see from my actual friends on my Facebook page more of, this is Trump's America, look what it looks like, it's racist, this is the right side, this is, you know, so it's 100% 50-50, like, I'm nervous about the election. I don't think that it's leaning one way or the other from what I see. It's scary that there's so many people out there that are still saying that this is all the Democrats' fault. And there's so many people that are still super big Trump supporters that it seems like this has just made them even more like
rabid,
kissing his feet, you know? Even more so, they're like, he's doing such a great job, look what he's doing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay, but your original question, Antifa out here, everybody is saying that, so I live in a very small town. There's nothing out here. Look, I have two grocery stores.
I've been in California my whole life, and I didn't know what Valley Springs was until
I didn't even know what it was until I moved here. It's like two grocery stores and a gas station. That's my town. So the town up the hill from us was planning a protest, a very small one. They're expecting under 100 people. And everybody on our town Facebook page came out and shut it down. And the girl that organized it got death threats and had to postpone it. And she's like 19 or 20 years old. Oh my God. And they said it's because some sheriff in that town spread the rumor that Antifa filled up the hotels out here and were waiting for the protest to start, and they were going to flood the streets and, like, loot all the mom and pop shops.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, why the hell would anybody come out here to mess with our little protest? Because what are they going to loot? Seriously, there's nothing out here.
There's fucking goats. That's what they're going to loot.
Yeah, what are they going to go after? Number one, and number two, everybody out here is so, like, that mentality of, we're locked and loaded. We're ready for looters. Let me defend my storefront and sit outside with my AK-15, whatever, AR-15, and we're ready for these, like, wait till these boys come to the country. All this shit. Then why are you so scared that you had to shut the protest down? If you're so locked and loaded and ready, why are you so scared?
Great question.
And
can I tell you guys a quick little story because it goes along with that? Okay, so we ended up having a curfew because there was some mumblings on Twitter about looters coming out here, and they're going to drive all the way out here and loot, you know, these areas and stuff. And so there was a picture of the tweet. And so I was like, I'm going to go look this guy up. That tweet had since been deleted. Every post on there is just him jerking off and then telling people that they can send money on Cash App for nudes, which, I mean, you've already got videos of yourself jerking it on here. I don't know what people are going to pay you for. but it made me so happy how many Karens looked this guy up on Twitter and just saw his, like, enormous dick. Like, their responses were like, I looked up his Twitter and it's a bunch of penises.
I'd like to speak to the manager of Twitter, please.
Right. It made me so happy. I was laughing. I sent it to so many people. Like, did you guys see this Twitter? It's crazy. And they all were expecting to see, like, you know, the looters are coming, and it's just like, Cash App me for nudes.
So the reason I wanted Stacy to explain what was happening in her small town was it helps explain Antifa and, like, the power of the boogeyman. So I have another quick story about Antifa and the power of this, like, saying these people are coming. I worked in Gettysburg. So in case you don't know, a real big battle happened there during the Civil War. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but when Antifa, the boogeyman, was forcing all of these places in the South to tear down the Confederate monuments, saying they don't belong in front of schools and parks, and which I completely agree with. Kids should not have to go to school looking at their oppressors.
Yeah. They had been in a museum.
Yeah. Well, they had released a statement saying they belong in places like Gettysburg. We're not coming for Gettysburg. We don't want anything to do with you guys. We believe they belong on the battlefields and at those locations.
Right.
A fake Antifa organization group, a lot like you're seeing right now that's happening, got online and said, we're coming to Gettysburg. We're tearing down all the monuments. Like, here's the date we're coming, yada, yada, yada. Of course, it got everybody all fired up. Like, the parking lot of the Parks Department that I used to run was filled with cops and, like, anti-protesters and all this, because I was only a block away from the place where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. So they thought they were coming here to protect these monuments of American history, both Union and Confederate. No one showed because it was fake. And instead, you had, like, 500 white boys out there with a bunch of guns. And the only injury that happened was one of those dumbass white boys shot himself in the leg.
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
How come that doesn't make the news real?
Oh, it was all over the Gettysburg news. That's a very big deal for there. There's only like 7,000 people that actually live in Gettysburg. So I tell you all that, and I wanted Stacy to talk about it and stuff, and to say Antifa is used as a boogeyman to incite right-wing paranoia and fear-mongering. Antifa itself isn't—it's not an organization. You can't log on and look it up. Like, they don't have a website like the Ku Klux Klan.
You don't join. You don't get a card.
You're not getting a card. Antifa is an ideology. It's called anti-fascism, and it was started
which you think is a good thing.
It was started as opposition to the Nazis. Let me continue.
Yes.
Started as an opposition to the Nazis. So, yes, Antifa is real. There are people that that do things in the name of Antifa, and some of them are, some of them have been known to burn buildings. Other of them are just involved in protest. But this whole idea that they are a terrorist organization, also, Donald Trump can't label a group a terrorist organization. The only way he can actually do anything about terrorist organizations is he employs the State Department to put regulations on them to like siphon off money to them and hopefully suffocate them and push them out. He can't just label somebody a terrorist organization and then you have like a blank check to go chase down every Democrat, which is what he's trying to do. He thinks that if he can label all protesters as Antifa and all of them as terrorists, it cleans the conscience of anyone fighting against them. That is what he's trying to give them, a blank check to say, go ahead, it's okay for you to throw things at them. It's okay for you to spit at them. It's okay for you to beat their asses because they're terrorists.
Well, he mentioned the Second Amendment. Apparently, right. It's okay for you to shoot them, too.
So Antifa isn't an organization. You can be pro-anti-fascism and be considered Antifa, but you're not part of their organization. And there's been plenty of reports that the white supremacist groups are the ones pretending to be Antifa and inciting all these anti-protests, just like they did in Gettysburg, which I witnessed with my own eyes. This isn't like some abstract story that I got from someone, to get all these freaking people fired up and to get all their friends involved and to go out there and show up at an anti-protester. It's fear-mongering, plain and simple. Also, I love Stacy. Probably next to my wife and my kid, she's number one. I don't like driving all the way out there. People are not going to drive from fucking Richmond to go all the way out there to look at a thrift store. Like, it's not going to happen. It's just not. And how does anyone know who's staying in hotels? How does, like, if you actually sit and think about, like, what would have to take place for these groups to show up in these locations, these small podunk little nowhere towns, and actually incite violence, that's a lot of fucking work for very little reward. Like a lot of work, especially in these like rural counties where, like Stacy said, everyone has 4 or 5 guns on their property. It just doesn't make sense. Stop letting fear mongering push you around. That's what so much of the Trump presidency is. That's what so much of the right wing agenda is. Left wing uses it too, but the right wingers are on. They're on a fucking good one over this because they have no other ground. They have no other ground.
Right.
There's like some 17-year-old boy sitting in front of his computer giggling, making these memes that look like Facebook or Twitter posts that say they're from Antifa, and it's a public post to everybody else in this cool club saying, let's hit up insert small town name here. Mm-hmm. Because I saw it when I was at my parents' house and I sent it to you guys. It was like, what is this? And it said the name of their town. And I was like, what is this like thing going around? I've seen it with my small town's name. It's everywhere. And everybody is sharing it like wildfire and saying, Antifa's coming. Look, they named our small town. Or there's even one that just says, we're done with the cities. We're hitting up the rural areas now. Let's go hit up the suburbs, you know, whatever. And I feel like it's some kid on his computer like, let's see what this does. For sure, that's what it is.
It's some
There's no real Facebook or Twitter from Antifa. Yep.
You're on mute, Erin.
I was muted. Sorry. This was reminds me. No, I was yelling at Hannah. She was barking. <okay. laughs> Right. So this reminds me of that movie Assassination Nation. Have you guys seen it?
No, okay, so I wanted to.
It's really, I really, really, really liked it. I thought it was really, really good. But the whole thing is like inciting fear in a small town by doing these things on with the internet, you know, quote unquote, like it's all about like releasing people's texts, releasing pictures, releasing private information to turn this town against this group of girls that are kind of like, I don't want to say the sluts because I disagree with slut shaming, but
that's what they labeled them.
Yes, exactly. So it's like they are the like the worst of the worst in their high school. So this group, you know, turns against them and incites all this fear. And it's seriously, such a good movie. I don't think it got nearly enough accolades as it needed. It's just super, super good movie. But it's just so funny how, like, Stacey, you're absolutely right. Like, there's some dickwad sitting behind his computer with a Canva, you know, like, probably, like, making this Instagram post that looks just like a Twitter post. And it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous how easy it is to get people riled up, you know. Like, I got the same text from my friends that live in Northwest Indiana. Like, they're coming for our neighborhoods. They're not coming to Indiana.
No. The amount of boomer Republican jerks in my town that are posting this and saying this is real. Oh my god, we need to board up our fucking thrift store. I'm like, come on.
You gotta tell them that. Okay, and I cannot stress this enough. Boomer. Gene, what are your thoughts on Antifa?
My thoughts are more toward the lame brain, Kool-Aid drinking sheep that actually go out of their way to infiltrate people's peaceful protests to try to like tattle on Antifa or make it look like Antifa is behind it. You know, just to further their, like you said, their campaign of fear and intimidation. And it's just, I'm so sick of what Trump has done to this country, and his evil tentacles have reached out into every facet of American life. And I guarantee you that all those Republican boomers and every other fucking diehard Trump ass kisser doesn't even know what Antifa stands for.
For sure.
Because if you have a group called anti-fascism, wouldn't logically that tell you that we don't want this in our country, that this is not a good thing?
One would think.
So I don't know. I'm just, I really have a headache. I just have a headache, and it's not because I overdrank on Tuesday night. Yesterday was just a write-off because I just spent the whole day trying to rebound from that hangover, and yesterday is a memory. I'm so sick of all this, and I can't even begin to imagine what another 4 years of this would be. Like Jackie said, especially with when he has no other reelection to worry about. I feel like he will push things to the limits to where we will see a true and real Handmaid's Tale, where he will find a way with McConnell to suspend the Constitution. So there will not be another election after his 8-year reign of terror is over.
Yeah. A lame duck Trump sounds terrifying.
Right. I mean, he a lame asshole Trump is terrifying enough, but when you put him in right. that situation, and you know, I don't, I make fun of tinfoil hat wearers. I giggle and laugh at conspiracy theories, but you know, I read The Handmaid's Tale for the first time right after Hillary lost the election, and it just, all the pieces started to come together that, my God, look at how many parallels in the last 3.5 years to that fucking book we have seen under this Trump. I don't even want to call it a presidency. I call it a reign of terror because that's what it's been. And anybody who tries to deny that Trump's winning was part of a complete backlash from 8 years of a black president is again in denial and, you know, just wants to sweep this whole, we still have a racism problem in the 21st century under the rug.
Yeah. Yep.
So
very well said.
The last thing I want to talk about, because I want to end on a happy note, is Trump pretending that he was inspecting a bunker. And before we talk about it, I actually found this super, it's 2 minutes long, so bear with me, but it's a comedian talking about it, and it's the best. So I'm gonna play it for everyone.
I say I've been trying to record this video for a few days, but every time I did, I kept losing the footage. I gotta get something better to record on than a body cam, but I digest. I just seen on Fox News that on CNN, they're saying my president, and still your president, by the way, Donald J. Trump was hiding in a bunker, and that pisses me off. He wasn't hiding in a bunker. He was just inspecting it. It's not even a bunker. It's a fortified basement with enough Diet Coke and Big Macs to last a couple years. He's got a bed down there with a smaller bed on the floor next to it for Mike Pence. If he's good, he gets to sleep at the foot of the big bed. He wasn't hiding. He was just checking his cell service to see if he could still tweet. And then he went up to the Rose Garden and had a gaslighting conference. He likes to speak out there because the smell of the flowers covers up the smell of the bullshit. And then he threatened violence on American citizens. And then he had the balls to walk across a park. Thank God that wasn't Obama, because you know some white lady would have called the cops on him just for bird watching. And Trump walked it across that park and his step counter was going haywire because it's not used to having that many steps in one day. And then he walked over to a church where just minutes before they tear gassed peaceful protesters, including clergy people. And then he walked over to that church and held up a Bible like it was the first time he ever held a book up. And it was a pretty big Bible. It looked big in his hands. It was the pocket-sized version, but it still looked pretty big. And he threatened violence, and then he held up a book that promotes peace, at least the second half of that book. That's kind of like Captain America holding up a copy of Mein Kampf, or it's kind of like Mike Pence holding up a Playboy or any book with female nudity in it. And Trump proved once again that he's Christian in religion, but he's far from Christ-like in his actions. So I'm raising my emotional support beer today to the bunker boy in chief. Here's to you, Donald J. Trump. Now get off my prop.
For those that don't follow him on Twitter, that's Brent Turhan, and he is so funny. And one of my favorite things about him is that he wears like a MAGA hat in all these videos, and he pretends obviously that he's a Trump supporter. And the hate from liberals he gets who don't get that he's joking is it's pretty funny.
I love his responses to the tweets. He'll go through and he'll show us all the tweets, and then what he responds to them. It's funny.
Yeah. So I wanted to play that because of all of the absurdity of this week, like this one was, I was just like, come on, man.
Well, because he can't ever admit that he's wrong. It's like when he said Tim Apple. Tim Apple, the same time. Tim Cook from Apple. Tim Apple. That's what I call him, to be quick. No, it's not.
Or when he said he was just being sarcastic. Into that bunker
like a little bitch.
Right? Or he was just being sarcastic about ingesting or shooting yourself up with disinfectants. I was just being sarcastic.
Right. And here's the thing. If you weren't in the bunker because you weren't afraid for your safety, why is there a fence up so far away from where the normal fence is for the White House? If you're that worried, why are you basically erecting a wall around the White House right now? You dummy. You were in the bunker.
That's where the wall should have went. We should have built that wall right around the White House and just locked them in there for
four fucking years. Brick them in there like some fucking Edgar Allan Poe shit and the cask of Amontillado.
You can take all those bricks that I've seen videos of people who are not protesters piling up on the streets for looters to use, build a wall right in front of that White House door and just keep him in there for the next 6 months.
Well,
It reminds me of like someone that like lets a fart off at the wrong time. Like they're like, oh, Gene. It's just the chair. No, Gene would never
when
do
I,
that.
It's Gene never the wrong it. Time Gene when I let
always
a fart
the right
off.
Time in the right place for a Gene.
Right time.
A Gene crack. Like I swear though, like you know, you've been around that person that you're like, oh my god, did you do the fart? They're like, no, it was the chair. No, it you farted, motherfucker. I can smell it. It's a fucking SPD. Fart. Right. Like it was a fart. You farted, Trump. You farted. Fucking own up to
in
it.
In the bunker. In the bunker.
Yeah.
Now that gaslighting to a whole new level. when you're it's lying just, about farts.
It's just that he will. How people still trust him when he so clearly lies about. Every like honestly, if he were to say there was a legitimate threat against the White House and standard operating procedure is to take the president down to the bunker, everyone would have been like, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
I've seen
that in movies and TV shows. I recognize
there was a legitimate threat against the White House. We found it to be credible. We moved the president as a safety protocol.
Yeah.
No one would have blinked an eye, but this dumb motherfucker has to come out and be like, no, it was a routine inspection that's written in paragraph 4 of the Constitution. It's just like, no, man.
And they will defend, his supporters will defend that to the death.
Right.
That's what really happened.
And what does he do? Does he change his own oil too? I mean, he's the president. Wouldn't there be staff?
What's he inspecting? What's he qualified to inspect? He goes down
Nothing.
And he's like, looks like walls. We're good. Right. Like, well, he's not an engineer. Like,
no.
What are you talking
he's
about?
He's barely a businessman.
He's making
that was
okay. His Diet Coke and his brand.
That was a missed opportunity. Somebody should have shut the door and locked it behind him.
It reminds me of the movie Olympus Has Fallen. Have you guys seen that movie, Olympus Has Fallen? Like, when he's down there, does that mean he's going to have the Cerberus codes? And, like, is he going to be able to launch nukes on us? Like,
the football
oh, my
always
God.
Always with the president.
I know.
The
Are they?
With him.
You know what? Makes me feel a little bit better though, and a little bit better about the future and the fact that maybe the election will turn out better than you know we're expecting.
Yes.
Is that well,
Gilead?
Well, Gilead. Yeah, but right. But that so many people sort of within his world are speaking out against what he did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you see Mad Dog doing
Murkowski
it. You see
today.
Murkowski today. She was, yep. You know. I mean, not firmly opposing him, but she was definitely saying, like, I'm going to have a hard time supporting this guy. The Arlington police, I don't know if you guys read about this, but they withdrew. They had been providing mutual aid and were basically lied to about what they would be doing. Had no idea that when they got there, they were going to be forced to tear gas all of these innocent people. And they see it as a complete violation of their mutual aid agreements. They yanked all their officers back. Like, it's
good for
that
them.
Gives me hope.
Well, not
good
just that.
For them.
They're now they're trying to and I imagine the White House and all of these people like running around arguing over who's going to take credit for like the stupidest thing that has been done since we put people in internment camps in our on our own soil.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Attorney General comes out, Attorney General Barr comes out and says, "I ordered it." Okay,
you
first
didn't.
Of all, that's not a thing.
You can't.
The Attorney General
right.
doesn't order anything
no.
except
anything,
investigations.
Right?
Like you're in part of the, you are in charge of the DOJ. You
but
may
I
be. Th-
I think he thinks that that's within his.
But it's not.
It's like first grade. They have a red Solo cup full of popsicle sticks, and they pull one out. They read the name, and that's the person who's got to take credit for the dipshit thing the president did.
It. Ha- I
and
hope,
today
I
it
hope
is.
That's how it is.
Bar.
Because he had his daughter who is an Orthodox Jew pull a Bible out of her $1,500 uh-huh. handbag and hold it up for a photo. It's just the whole thing is
at a church where they were not invited that had been burned the night before, and he didn't even not a moment of silence, not a moment of reflection. My favorite part of the whole thing was when the reporter asked him, "Is that your Bible?" It's a Bible. A Bible.
Well, and then he traveled
seven
white people to take a picture of him. Like, one of them's the press secretary. Like, what have you ever seen a picture of? Like, what is happening right now? He grabbed the seven closest white people and was like, get in this picture with me, quick.
Right.
Those are the last people that are still deserting him. Just grabbing whoever has to be near him because it's their job.
He likes he likes to grab things.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so I've read.
Yeah, I this whole religion thing cracks me up because, first of all, Ivanka left a religion they never observed so she could join it. Then carries a Bible now that she's a Jew, like an Orthodox Jew, like you said, Jackie. She is now holding the Bible in her purse to hand it over to her father for his photo op that he nearly, you know, or actually did gas hundreds of protesters so he and his stupid bone spurs could trot like a big fat old Clydesdale down the road and in front of that boarded up fucking church that he never attended and they didn't even want him there. That's the state of our country.
Exactly. They were talking to, I know I heard them talk to the bishop and then somebody else there on CNN when I was watching my boyfriend. And they were like, yeah, the last time he was here was like St. Patrick's Day 2019. Like, I mean, come on.
What was even the message? What was the message of him silently holding up a Bible upside down?
No, but you know what it was? It was the meeting they had before that where they were like, you know who we need to really make sure that we're capturing right now and, you know, pandering to? The religious and the gun toters. And so let's go out there. Let's use them as all the thin blue line people who don't see that you can support your police department and not want innocent people to get killed. How those two things can work together. So we have to check off these boxes for this election. We need to get the people who want us to send the military out and shoot all the protesters, but we need to make sure we don't leave the religious folks behind. So hand me a Bible.
I also think it shouldn't be controversial to say, because I support law enforcement officers, I also want to stop police brutality because I don't want to see good cops get needlessly hurt because they're inciting so much violence with these outbreaks. I have a lot of family and a lot of friends who are law enforcement officers. I don't want to see any of them be hurt. And because of that, I want the bad ones to stop killing people.
For them to be open to the conversation too, because I feel like it just becomes this, you're either Black Lives Matter or Thin Blue Line. Like, those are the two choices you get to make, and they don't understand the difference. And as these protesters, like I said, they're young and they're smart and they're mobilizing and they're coming up with demands and they're coming that it can wait. That's an awesome one. But there's also a lot of talk about divesting in police departments and defunding police departments. And people are so quick to like, absolutely not. What are you going to not have police departments? Like, no, take 5 minutes to listen to what they're saying. Because when I went down to the memorial that was being held down here today and I was talking to the person who was organizing it, she said she was having a conversation with a police officer this morning explaining that that's what they want. They want to divest in police a little bit more so they can invest in more programs that support communities, because those things work hand in hand, right? So you can solve the same amount of – you can solve the same problems with fewer police officers if you bring mental health specialists in and you bring grief counselors in and you bring, you know, drug counselors in and you bring in these things to serve this role. Because you're not trained to do that as a police officer. And he agreed. And she's like, right, we agree. It's about them wanting to demilitarize the police a little bit.
Los Angeles County is committed to it.
They did, because I don't know if you saw, but all of the people on social media, especially on Blackout Tuesday, that were telling people to write in the Los Angeles City Council and tell them, like, it's absolutely insane if you're to look at a city's budget, how much of that money goes straight to police. It's usually at least half, if not, you know, more than that. And so when you look at how many more programs you can support that are preventative as as opposed to reactive, and how those two things work together. And that's important. But people have to be willing to have that conversation and realize divesting in police departments doesn't mean annihilating police departments. It means changing the way police departments work and making them less militarized.
Right. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles is committed to taking $100 million from police forces and putting them into social service organizations, which means when there's a domestic abuse call, if a wife's being hit or a husband, no hate here, no judgment here, instead of necessarily 15 cops showing up, one cop will show up with two therapists. And if someone needs to be arrested, they'll be taken away with the police officer, or they can try to get to the, are there children there that need to be talked to, so they don't have to be traumatized by seeing one of their parents thrown to the ground and hit by cops. You know, is this a situation where a neighbor called because of people yelling and, you know, they really just need couples counseling? Like, so they're talking about bringing therapists into those types of situations instead of, also, does every police call need to be answered with someone holding a gun? You know, when you're going to serve a warrant on someone, does the first 15 people in the dark room in a dark house, like Breonna Taylor, need to be wielding weapons that they can't see who's inside? Like, those are the kinds of things that you're helping law enforcement by doing that, because they're not trained to deal with those situations. Right. So it's not one or the other. It's both. Both can happen. Both can happen. So we have to get over
that. They're symbiotic.
Right. So we have to get past this idea that you're either pro-police or pro-Black lives. That's not helpful.
Yes, you can be both.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that has to be spelled out. I would just think that it's implied that I don't know. I just can't.
The thing, Jean, it's not if you're racist, right? It's not if you're racist.
Are you though? And are you really surprised?
And so it's easier to hide. People don't want to come out and say, guess what? I don't think Black lives are as important as white lives. So it's a lot easier to just say, I'm going to just brush off the entire Black Lives Matter movement and say that all lives matter, or that cops matter, or that this is, because it's easier than just coming out and saying, look, I'm a product of my environment and I was brought up to fear Black people. And that might not be right. It's hard for people to take that look in the mirror and admit that to themselves, let alone anybody else. So it's a lot easier to say that I just blindly support the police department and not Black Lives Matter, because they don't.
I think it's even deeper than that, because I don't think most people that you would ask, even if you hooked them up to a lie detector test, I don't think they would say Black Lives Matter less. And here's the problem with implicit bias. I think they would say they're criminals, so they matter less, without taking a look at what type of systems place them in. Like, they accept maybe their peers that work alongside them because those Black people have assimilated into their society. Mm-hmm. So they accept them as one of their own. They don't want to look beyond why are Black men incarcerated 7 times more than white men? Why do we have systemic poverty in some of these areas? Why do all these things happen? They don't realize, by not looking at that, they're saying Black lives matter less. Because if you were to, like I said, hook them up to a lie detector, they wouldn't believe that. But by their actions, because they refuse to take a bigger look, because that makes you uncomfortable, that's the system you create.
Right. And if you'd like to learn why all of those things have happened, you should watch 13th on Netflix.
Oh my God, what a great documentary.
Yep.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
I also wanted to give one shout out before we go into what we're obsessed with. I've seen a lot of children's books go around, and I've looked at several of them. Lincoln's not quite there yet because he's 2. So he still likes, like, Mickey. I'm not going to get anything deeper than that with him. But I've been looking at a lot of children's books lately that kind of teach about how to deprogram societal racism in children, because they grow up around it, not even realizing it. And one of the things I didn't necessarily like about it was a lot of it is we don't see color, and I don't think that's the answer. I don't think it is, because there is color. Agreed. People are different.
Celebrate it. Cool.
So there is a really good website called Conscious Kids that has a lot of good material for children at all different ages. And I would start there if you're looking at ways to talk to children about racism that doesn't just say your black friend is, you don't see his color, because then you're taking away a history of a person if you say you're not going to see his or her color. So
yeah.
I think they're well-intentioned books. I think they're just now, in the moment we're living in, tone deaf. So
yeah,
Conscious Kids is a really good website to look at for material for deprogramming systemic racism. What's everyone obsessed with?
So many things this week, from the piglets to I've been with my kids for 11 weeks 24/7 11 weeks, and Saturday
412 bottles of wine. I'm
gonna say, what's the hours you have? The hours,
I should figure it out. Saturday I will have a moment alone, and I'm very excited about it, so that's super exciting. But honestly, what I think my big obsession this week is, everybody writes teenagers and young adults off as, you know, dramatic and hormonal and meh, they haven't had enough life experience to think deeply about things. But this, like, what is going on right now, honestly, reading some of the comments on Instagram, on my kids' Instagram posts, and hearing what they're talking about, it's like faith in humanity. Like, we're going to be okay for the future, because I feel like the teenagers today are so much more insightful than I feel like we were, and they shouldn't be written off as, oh, just teenagers that don't, you know, whatever. They haven't had enough life experience. No, they are thoughtful, and they are headed in the right direction to take us where we need to be, I feel like. So I feel like that
before, this generation is going to save the fucking world. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah,
it totally is.
Yeah,
I agree. And I you know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine that I had grown up with. Her daughter is in her mid-20s now. She just had a daughter, so the baby's 11 months old. She ended up moving down south, like deep south, and we had this brief little exchange privately through Messenger, because she didn't want to make anything, you know, get blown up on Facebook. So, you know, she basically said, my husband is active duty, reservist, or, you know, something to that effect. And she says, I just absolutely cannot condone the kneeling. I can't condone the disrespect to the flag. And then we just had a discussion, and I said, well, that's the first misconception about what Kaepernick was doing. It's not the disrespect to the flag. It's the, I'm using this platform to say, hey, everybody, you guys are all pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America that does not treat me the same way that it treats everyone else. As a black NFL player, I'm taking my chance to do this. And so we went back and forth, and she said, she goes, you know, that was one point that I never thought of before. And how many times do you have a conversation with somebody you're debating on fucking social media, and they turn around and say, oh, that was a point I never thought about before. And then, you know, I just, we talked a little bit more, and she expressed her frustrations at just what's going on in the world. And I said, well, it's your generation that's going to change it. She said, I'm afraid it won't ever change. And I said, it's your generation and the people who are just a little bit younger than you that are going to make the change, because you actually could identify two sides of the story. You are conscious of everything that's going on. You want to be conscious of both sides. And the problem is that, you know, too many people who are older, it's ingrained in them so deeply that it would just take too much mental energy for these people to try to even begin to deprogram themselves on their own.
I think that's what it is these kids. Well, some people think, oh, they don't have enough life experience to have any, you know, good thoughts about it. They're also not jaded.
Right.
So when they, you know, when there's this group of teenagers that's like, oh, wow, we live in a very Republican town, they see the viewpoints of all these people, and they're all like, ooh, this older generation is not cool.
Right.
Let's still hold this protest. Let's show them that this is not, you know, that we're not going to stand for this, and let's go out there and show them that we're different and that we don't agree with them, because they're not jaded yet. They're not like, right. Oh, let's not go out there. This.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say they're more well-read on these subjects. They've done more research than just the like, well, all lives matter. Like, right. But what you have no, you've done no work to get to that thought.
Right. And you know what, you know what I think? Right. And I think the biggest thing that, that these kids have going for themselves is that, that they, kids today have multicultural groups of friends. Kids have biracial friends. Kids have Hispanic friends. Kids have Black friends. They, it's not so much that we're going to separate by table or by race in the lunchroom at school like they did, you know, 20, 30, 40 plus years ago. The kids just are more inclusive now. You've got, you know, a generation where more people of color who maybe a generation or two ago couldn't afford to move out to the suburbs are moving out to the suburbs now. And so these kids play sports with each other. They go to school with each other. They hang out with each other. So on the one hand, they don't, they're like, why are people like questioning that this is wrong? Don't you understand that if, you know, if one of my friends who was a person of color was down on the ground with a knee on a cop's knee on his neck and he's begging for his life, that would be such an atrocity to them that what they don't even get why people are questioning, is it wrong?
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's no question.
Exactly.
Well, what I've noticed too is most of them seem to understand that no amount of property is going to equal a life. So if that's what you need to do to get it out and to feel better, you need to burn it down then. Yeah. If that's what leads to not one more innocent person dying at the hands of a police officer, then burn it to the ground. You'll rebuild it. There's insurance money. These kids understand that. And that's the difference between,
well, it's also,
you know,
it's not just that. It's they don't have a lifetime of believing one way to have to defend. So these older generations, for them to say,
they can't admit they're wrong.
Well, because then that would mean they've always been wrong.
Right.
And that takes a tremendous amount, because then you're admitting we didn't fix it and we left it for you.
And yes.
And also they're admitting that their parents were wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like not just them that they've believed it. Then they have to, because I mean, I'm not saying that like we don't respect our parents and that the younger generations don't respect their parents, because they do. But it's almost like these older generations, when they think back to their parents, it's like this like pedestal thing where they're like, well, my grandpappy told me. Well, okay, well, your grandpappy was fucking wrong. All right, I don't know what
to say. And it wasn't a dialogue back then either. It was one-sided. Right.
What you believe.
Kids are having open conversations and open dialogue now.
Yep.
Right. What else are you obsessed with, Stace?
Sorry, that was it. I didn't mean to hijack it again.
I think you touched on something really good, because I think a lot of people were too flippant too. I think cancel culture is alive and well, and we're way too easy to be like, well, fuck, okay, boomer generation, of being like, you don't get it, without really looking at saying they would have to then admit that they contributed to this for decades. And that's a hard thing to do. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not giving them an excuse. I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm not. Most people aren't capable of doing it, because it takes a ton of self-examination. It takes you looking back and thinking about how you treated everyone, how you contributed to it, what you did wrong. Like that's fucking hard. And it's just, I think it's, we don't try to talk to the older generation either. We write them off a lot, but they don't try to talk to us, because they think we're all stupid and naive and idealistic and
exactly.
We don't know anything.
And a big part of that older generation issue is fear. It's just plain and simple fear that they're getting old. They've lived a lifetime used to all these different customs and traditions, and they know what to expect. And everything has to be this way, because that's how they've lived for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And then when the you know the seeds of change are sown, they are afraid of what that's going to look like when the crops of change grow. You know, they don't want their whole lives. They fear their whole lives are going to change when really it would just be minuscule things that would change. They interpret it as, oh my God, everything that I've worked for, everything that I've done, it's all going to change and blah, blah, blah. And what's going to happen to me? And then they won't admit that it's fear, but it's the get off my lawn.
Like they're going to march your 80-year-old grandpa out of the house and hand it over to a 20-year-old black man or something like that. Yeah. I swear to God, that's what they do. Out, you're done. We're letting this guy move in. You've had your, like.
Yeah,
I think a lot of boomers think that this generation of teenagers, they're so open-minded that their brains fell out. That's what they think. But the people that I hang out with now are teenagers. That's all that I'm around now. That's all. I have a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old now. So that's all we're around. And I'm here to tell you that they're going to change the world. That's not the case.
I believe what
the boomers are saying, hey, you're on your way out. These are the people that are going to be, that are going to change.
And I think we shouldn't write off the 20, like the ones in their 20s too, because it's not just the teenagers. Like,
I'm talking about
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you know who's raising these kids is our generation. So,
oh God, not me.
me either.
I'm a millennial. Rude.
We're all on the cusp. Are we all on the cusp?
Yeah.
I'm a
hardcore Gen Xer.
I'm like on the cusp of a millennial and Gen X. Sorry, Jackie.
Millennials started in 81.
Some articles say 80. Thank you very much.
You want to claim millennial? Claim millennial. I don't care.
God damn it.
I'm gonna go real quick because mine's gonna be super short. I am, by the way, happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Pride Month. Everybody. And I just wanted to say I listened to 3 podcasts today about the Stonewall riot while I was driving to and from work. And now's a real good time to remind everyone that Stonewall happened because of black and brown trans people, trans women. Mm-hmm. Black and brown are the reason that the entire LGBTQ community has the rights they have to do today. And don't ever fucking forget that. So it's real easy to wipe people off and just be like, oh, you know, because in our community, there's still a lot of people divided over certain issues. You wouldn't have the rights you did without black and brown trans people. So...
And also, the movement would not have gotten the attention were it not for a riot.
Mm-hmm.
So, a six-day riot. And you know, the thing is, I feel so deeply for, like, the small business owners who have lost their, you know, businesses. They're going to have to go through the immense pain in the fucking ass that it's going to take to rebuild, if they could rebuild at all. But you know what? That's called collateral damage. Mm-hmm. And the government doesn't mind collateral damage when it's for a fucking corporate war that they start in another country. Collateral damage is okay there. But when our own citizens are fighting a war for the equality and the respect and the dignity that this country promised fucking 300 years ago, no, then collateral damage is awful. And you people that are always whining about your rights, you people have caused terrible damage rioting. Fucking that, the Boston Tea Party was a riot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fucking riots are what make people wake up, because if you peacefully protest, it's too fucking easy for it to ignore. Didn't anybody read my goddamn blog this week?
Hell yeah, I read it and I shared it.
The message of a riot is for you to fucking pay attention, because you ignore all the peaceful and then the fucking white people. Well, Martin Luther King changed the world. No riots. P.S. He fucking got a bullet in his head by a racist for it. Why don't you put that in your fucking meme?
Yeah. Shit, yeah.
People fucking ignore peaceful protests. They don't ignore riots. And I'm sorry for the innocent people who lost property.
It'll come back, but those people won't.
Yeah, George Floyd will never come back. The entire list of black and brown people before him will never come back.
I'm telling you right now, the only reason I've been able to explain, like, to people that go, like, I understand protests, but I don't understand the riots, and I don't understand the looters. And I'm like, okay, so I just got to tell you, like, you know, all of that, all those material belongings, all those material things do not mean as much as a fucking human life. That is the point. That is the statement right there. And then they go, oh, okay. And I don't know if maybe no one has said it to me that plainly before, but, like, it makes so much fucking sense now. I'm like, burn it down, motherfuckers. Burn it fucking down. I would be out there right now. And I should be. I don't know why I'm not. Why am I not out there protesting? I don't know. I struggle with that. I'm going to be real honest with you.
Well, I kind of.
Resources out there to see, like to give you options of what you can do that feels comfortable.
Right, right. Instead of, like, if you're not comfortable protesting, you can do and I know that. But there's a part of me that feels like this desire to go and to be involved. But then I'm like, I hate to admit this. I'm scared. And I hate admitting that, but I mean,
well, I was all set to go. My dumbass town decided that they are going to have their peaceful protest of solidarity tomorrow, a work day at noon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, you fucking smarties, you scheduled it in the middle of a work day to keep crowd control because, you know, like I found out about this 2 days ago. I have to work tomorrow. I have Zoom meetings that I have to attend. I cannot go to a noon thing on a Friday. You couldn't have it on a Saturday or a Sunday? No, they didn't want it because they want to keep the people. They want to keep the numbers low.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, for things like that, how are you supposed to? You know, if your town has one during the week and you find out about it 2 days before, I mean, yeah, okay, well, everybody call out sick to go to it. But, I mean, you know, we're talking about it. So, I mean, at least that's one thing we're doing.
That's true. Right. That's very true.
Stacey, who's next?
Yeah, no, just all of this. It's been hard to think about sort of anything else, and I feel weird saying anything else, so... if you want to learn a little
during it, Jesus,
no, yeah, Jesus, right?
So if you want to learn a little bit more about how sort of we've systemically and legally somehow oppressed black people, watch 13th on Netflix, because that's super informative. It's really well made. It just talks a lot about all the things that we've put into place that have sort of oppressed an entire community. So that's a really informative movie that you can watch. Also, if you haven't had the opportunity, I know I've talked about it before, watch American Son on Netflix. It was a play that Kerry Washington did. It's so incredible. And it really tells the story of two parents. One's the father's a white congressman, I think, and Kerry Washington plays the mother, and their son gets into some trouble, and the points of view they have coming from their respective backgrounds and the fear she feels for her son on a daily basis that her ex-husband just doesn't experience. It's so important to watch, and it's so good. So I recommend those two things. If you're looking for some other ways that you can help, there are some petitions you can sign. You can sign the Breonna Taylor petition. The officers that, you know, busted into her apartment in the middle of the night and shot her still have not been arrested. Nothing has happened there. So you can sign that petition. You can also, you know, make some donations. I chose, before they came out with the Eight Can Wait campaign, to donate to Campaign Zero. Because I do work in the government, I know that changes don't get made without things that are based in research and based in science. So Campaign Zero is one that I think really can make some changes. They have their Eight Can Wait campaign, which just came out, which basically has eight changes that police departments can make right now that would drastically reduce the police brutality and the innocent people dying. So that includes
and
banning of
chokeholds.
And when
all are in place, it reduces it by 75%. All of them.
Wow.
Are in place.
Well, yeah. So
that's how you stop rioting.
Right. And so that's one of those things that you can do that, you know, Campaign Zero, go on their website. You can go on 8canwait.org, but banning the use of choke and strangle holds, requiring de-escalation. They go through the statistics of the, you know, biggest, the largest cities, what percentage of them actually have rules that require officers to do these things. And it's shockingly low on some of them. Requiring a warning before shooting, exhausting all alternatives before shooting, and having to prove that you've done that. A duty to intervene. Not every police department requires that officers intervene when they see other officers doing something wrong. Banning shooting at moving vehicles, establishing a force continuum, and then requiring all force to be reported, because people want to go back and look at statistics, and the reality is these statistics aren't accurate because a lot of this doesn't get reported the way it needs to. So that's one way that you can help, and just try and educate people. I will say I'm glad that people are putting their money where their mouth is. Disney's pledged a lot of money. Warner Music, I think, has pledged a lot of money. Starbucks has. Like, I'm glad to see these corporations. There's companies that are matching funds. Check with your employer to see if they're doing any sort of matching funds, because, you know, all of this helps. That's it. That's all I got.
And when people think that putting those, because I posted that website on my Facebook page also, people don't think that, oh, sure, you put a rule into place, it's not going to make a difference. The reason that rules are in place is because then you can actually hold action against police when they don't follow them. And that's one of the big loopholes that's there, because only 3% of cops that actually face charges are convicted. So if you have like this whole like mandated reporting, essentially, if you see another officer, then if that officer is found guilty and you as his partner or her partner didn't report them, you're going to lose your job, which is what keeps people honest. So when I see people kind of roll their eyes as, oh, sure, they're going to report them. They will if their job and their family is at stake then, because they're going to lose their job if they're found guilty of something. So some of those things I think to some people they seem trivial because they seem easy. But the statistics show when all 8 of those things are put in place at a police department, it does reduce police brutality by 75%, which is fucking huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge. Aaron?
Yeah.
So I'm obviously now I'm obsessed with everything Stacey has just said. So thank you, Stacey. But everything that's been going on obviously has been, I mean, I hate to say it's been a lot for this little white chick to handle. I mean, I'm not really little, but I'm just saying like it's been a lot. Like as a white girl, like I'm like, I literally feel sometimes like I hate any negative thought I've ever had about any other race. I hate it. Like, I hate myself for it. And I've been dealing a lot with that. It's been seriously a lot for me to handle. And I hate myself for it. Like, I literally get very choked up about it. I am right now. You're driving and you're like, oh, that guy is, you know, some other color. And I just, why do I do that? I hate myself for that. I really, really do. This has been a lot. This has been a really big week.
To be fair, I
hate
everyone when I'm driving. So
I agree. And I know that. And I really do. And I know that a lot of things happen and there are a lot of reasons that people have their prejudices and their ideals and why stereotypes exist. I know all that. But like this week has really made me go, wow. You know?
Well, it's forced people to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has been, I have to say this, and I hate to like, you know, all of this is happening, but I'm obsessed with myself. But like, I am so fucking struggling writing right now. It has been the hardest couple of weeks in my entire writing career. And all of my 40 years, or let's just say 35, because I feel like I started writing right around the time I knew how to write. I started writing shit. And this has been the hardest moments of my life, trying to find romance in this fictional world that I create. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Who gives a fuck about these two
people? No, let me tell you that it's important, because through all of this and all of the self-reflection and all of the thoughts and all of the everything, people need a break. They really do.
Yeah.
And so there's fatigue that comes along with this, right? And I've even seen specifically for people of color, like, hey, you need to take a break today. Take 5 hours where you're not doing something and just decompress a little bit. So what you're doing is important. And I know that you don't see where the value is in that right now, because it's hard to find inspiration when it comes to stuff like that. But know that what you're doing, what you guys are all doing in writing, and what people do with music and with TV and movies and even TikTok right now, I'm like, oh, wait, I'll just go on TikTok, because that's somewhere where I can watch something that might make me smile a little bit. And that's okay, because the one thing that, you know, the fatigue can make people forget this a little bit more. But as people take breaks and they get re-energized by things that are thoughtful and inspiring, it helps them keep going. So what you guys are doing is important.
Yeah.
So remember that.
Well, it's funny too, because like, I obviously, I don't think that what I'm doing is important, but thank you for saying that. But like, when one of our fellow BSB authors, her name's Anne Shade, she's a Black lesbian author, and she is, she wrote this new book that came out, Black Femme Tales. And it is, literally, like, the book is really, really good. Like, really good. Like, I was so just, like, blown away by how amazing of an author she is. But she's also a poet, and she's definitely a person to look at. So if you guys go look at Anne Shade, like, she's so good. But I posted something about how I'm just struggling right now, and she commented and was like, so am I. And I was like, oh my god, I feel like such an ass. Like, it makes me feel bad that I'm struggling. But I said to her, like, your words matter even more now than they ever have. Like, they really do. Like, every word that you write, Anne, it means more now than it ever has meant. And you have to keep writing, and you have to keep your head down and keep doing it, because it is so important. So it is true that right now it's important for anybody that's an artist or an author or whatever to continue to put out your art and your works, because it people need it. But it has just been so difficult, and I'm so obsessed with how difficult it's been. I hate saying that, but like, I'm just like, I just want one day where I can sit down for 5 hours and read, do my read through, instead of being like, well, I have to turn in on Sunday and I still have 300 pages to look at. Like, that's crazy. What the fuck? So it's just been a lot. It's been a lot. So yay to June. Happy Pride Month.
Jane, what are you obsessed with?
I'm at the point now where Trump is unraveling, and I really enjoyed the Bible stunt, because what he pulled was an eye opener, and hey, it dug up Mitt Romney, and it got Lisa Murkowski to stand out. It got James Mattis.
Didn't win his primary. Like,
Steve King didn't win. So I mean, it's like, I'm because there's nothing but fucked up weird shit going on right now. I'm finding amusement. You know, like, I got a lot of mileage out of that disinfectant speech. especially the video that he's talking and they're just showing Dr. Birx's face. These are the things now that I find immensely enjoyable. And you know, Trump once again hit the mark this week. I he never lets me down. And this week it was that nonsensical, just complete dog and pony show. So that's all I have. That's all I got. I'm getting drunk, and that's it. That's it.
Well, continuing to get drunk. Sorry that this lasted an hour and 40 minutes, everybody.
Wait, who are you talking to? They tuned out a half hour ago.
Yeah, they're talking to each other now.
But We will be back next week, I assume. keep mentally healthy, keep positive, keep creating. Stacey's right, a lot of people look to art and artists and creative release at this time, and if you don't have a hobby, now's a really good time to get one to release some of that internal angst that everyone has pumping through them. So happy Pride.
Yay. Happy Pride! Yay! Yay. Yay. Gay people! Yay!
I love the gays.
And bye.
Bye.
Bye.